This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? And welcome, showrunners, to episode number 33 of the Showrunner Podcast. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Rainmaker FM for Rainmaker Digital. And I am not joined right now by Johnny Naster, defender of humanity and host of Hack the Entrepreneur, but I will be in a few minutes. Because here's the thing, and you may take exception to us calling this episode number 33, because we're actually replaying an old episode. We're digging into our archives, as we've suggested to you that you do, and we are actually replaying episode number 10, why every podcast needs an email list. And there are a couple reasons why. Number one, we want to next week kind of go next level and talk about building and expanding your email list and kind of getting to that next level of engagement with your email subscribers. But we've gotten a lot of new listeners since episode 10. And so we want to make sure that we've laid that foundation with everybody. And that's why we thought it would be a good idea to rerun episode number 10. But that's also a very convenient rationalization for running it, because here's the real reason why we're doing this. And I mean, that is a good reason. And I'm in hindsight, I'm glad we're doing it. But the reason why I'm recording this intro myself is because it's been an interesting week at my house. All right, let's just put it that way. We're having our new wood floors installed finally after many, many weeks of grappling with contractors and all this stuff that you don't want to hear about, but it's been kind of a disaster. We finally got someone in installing our wood floors here at the house. But here's the thing. I have to be here during the day, and I'm displaced from my office currently. Plus, where I would otherwise record, which is in other rooms in the house, they don't get a very good internet connection. And so trying to record on Skype ends up getting a lot of those little digital sounds, and the connection isn't good enough to get a clean recording. So add all of that up, and it would be very hard. There's like this 48-hour window where it would be very hard for me and Johnny to get online and record an episode, and I can't go anywhere else to get good audio. And so I just said, hey, let me record an intro. Let's rerun. You know, we decided together, let's rerun episode 10. We'll build on it next week and it'll all work out. And plus, it's an example of what we've been telling you to do, which is to use your archive to your advantage. And so this is an example of when life comes up, and life always comes up, even when we have plans and schedules and we know exactly when we're going to record episodes and we reschedule them. Sometimes life comes up, we need a backup plan, and sometimes the best backup plan is your archive. And so be strategic, pick a good episode, make it part of a series so that it's not just a repeat, but it's actually still part of moving forward, and everything will be okay. And so that's what we've tried to do here with this episode. And so what you're going to hear, again, is a replay of episode 10, why every podcast needs an email list. And you know, in this episode, John talked about why he thinks he's doing email wrong, and I disagree with him. And we talk about the importance of being human, go figure, in how you approach email, and why you should view your email schedule like your podcast schedule. What's more important, an email subscriber or an iTunes review? On and on. And I think you'll get a lot out of this, even if you've heard it before. It'll be great refresher before next week's episode, where we dig in even further. And we're going to leave the listener question and the podcast recommendations on here. The listener question is a good one. It's how do you decide if you should have a co-host? That remains relevant, so we'll leave that in. And who couldn't benefit from a couple of extra podcast recommendations? So there's a couple of podcast recommendations in here for you as well. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for bearing with us this week, for bearing with me during my crazy week. And Johnny, if you listen to this, thank you for being a great co-host, an understanding co-host, and not getting too mad at me for having to reschedule a couple of times. I appreciate it. All right, everybody. That's all from me. Well, I'll probably come back and say bye at the end. But here is our rerun of episode 10, Why Every Podcast Needs an Email List. So, on our last episode of The Showrunner, we introduced this idea of email, and I talked about how during the Showrunner huddle at Authority Rainmaker at my table, we spent some time talking about email and the importance of building your list from the very beginning, the importance of funneling people to your list, and the importance of giving people an incentive to join your email list. It can't just be, hey, give me your email address, join the list. It's got to be, give me your email address, get on the list, and here's what you will get. Here is the benefit to you. Because as the person who is creating the content and running the email list, there's an obvious benefit to you of getting the email address. So it's obviously important to remember to articulate the benefit to the person of giving you the email address. So, John, I know email has been huge for you with Hack the Entrepreneur. When we talk about this topic of email and specifically linking email with a podcast and using a podcast to build an email list, what are the first one or two or three tips that come to mind to help people out as they either go down this road or start to tweak what they're doing to get better at email?
First and foremost, I'm doing it wrong. Secondly, be human. I'm doing it wrong because I don't give anything away. I absolutely do not give an incentive. The incentive is that I'm going to write you. There's no automated messages, and this is my call to action. Literally, I'm going to write you personally every Sunday afternoon with things that I've been thinking about working through in my business and with the smart people I've got to talk to that week. And I learn 1,000 things every week, and I'm going to find one of those things that I'm going to try and teach it to you and share it with you.
But wait, but that's the incentive. I mean, because you're not.
But there's no ebook. There's no.
Ebooks are overrated. Who was it that talked about how everybody has a whole folder on their desk of ebooks they've downloaded but haven't read? See, because I think your Sunday newsletter is the incentive. It's like with the assembly call. What we do is we send out a post-game newsletter that only the email people get. So that's the incentive. If you want to get this post-game analysis email, you got to be on the email list. Same thing with the Showrunner, where only the people who are on the list could get the pilot launch. So it's something that's specific to them.
Right. It's just when we first say that people, you need to give something like incentivize people. People always think of those like lead magnets and whatever that stuff is people talk about, which is, oh, let's just create some crap that we think people will like. And it's like, well, they don't. Mm-hmm. And if they do, I think it was Chris Brogan was just like, yeah, well, they probably just download it and then they instantly like unsubscribe from you because they just wanted that free thing. And then they're never going to read it. So it's just kind of a game you're playing for some reason. And mm-hmm. I don't do that. Mine is the most human aspect. Plus, I say that it's a direct link to my inbox. If you want to talk to me, subscribe to that. Literally the first welcome, which is the only automated message on my list, you can hit reply to that and it comes to my phone or it comes to my laptop. And talk to me. Ask me questions. Tell me what you think. Tell me if you like me or you don't. That's cool. But that's your link. And that is an incentive. That can be your incentive. But the main thing to me is to be human. And my incentive really is the human aspect, that this is actually me. And the other mistake that I see people making with email lists is even just talking about it as email lists. These are people. If you have three people on that list, those are three human beings that have said they want to hear from you. So don't do the mistake that 99.9% of the people make and be like, I was like, well, so what was the last thing you sent your email list, quote unquote? And they're like, well, I haven't sent anything yet because I only have like 78 people on there. Like, really? So you don't email those? No, I will once I get to 250. Really? So what do you think of those 78 people, which is a large room of people? If they were standing there, which they are kind of standing there waiting for you, they've said they want to hear from you. Like, it's weird to just let them sit there and always want more. I always want more people on my list. And to me, it's like, I just want the people. I sent my first newsletter was to 17 people. And I worked so hard on that email, and it's just what I did. And then the next week I had like 32 people or something. these are human beings that want to. This is your connection. This is an absolute, this is the connection with your audience. So don't treat it like anything less than that. These are human beings on the other end of this that are going to open this up. And that's your chance to make the connection that you've started through your podcast. Do not neglect that. Do not treat them like just numbers. Do not treat them like anything else other than human beings, because that's what they are. And if you don't treat them like that, there's no way they're going to treat you like that. And that's my rant.
John Nastor, the human podcaster. So let me.
It's crazy how much being a human, like, people are shocked by it because they don't usually get it.
It is. And I have to admit, when I started my very first email list, I kind of thought the same thing. It's like, man, only 15 people. But what you got to realize is when you reach those people, those are the 15 people who have self-selected themselves to be in your audience. They've said, I like what this guy does. I want more. Who do you think are going to be the people most likely to share your stuff and send it to a friend and help you build and grow the audience? Those people. And that's why, even if you're just being selfish about it, those are the people to invest time in nurturing, right? But the best mindset to have is the one that you continue to espouse, John, which is about just being human. Treat people like humans. Now, let me play devil's advocate for a second. And I know the answer to this, but I want to get your perspective, which is that, okay, we talk a lot about how podcasting creates connection, and we're creating this connection with a podcast. Why do I have to then go to the next level of creating an email connection too? What's the benefit to me as a content creator of building an email list, especially when I've already got this podcast that is magically supposed to help me connect with people because it's audio in their ears?
Well, there's numerous benefits to it, but that's like the ultimate extension, I think, of the relationship online is people just naturally want to have that email. We have email connections with our friends and with our family, and then with the few people online that we've met through either a podcast or a blog that we want to take that relationship further. It's just what we want. And so it's essential. Plus, at some point, Hack the Entrepreneur, I'm just going to be done with it. I'm going to feel like it's gone its course and I'm going to go into another podcast. And these people that I've gathered up, these, like, if it's 1,000 or if it's 2,000 at that point, or 5,000, I don't know, but I can still talk to them. I can bring them to any other sort of business or any other thing I go into. And it's to me, it's just the ultimate extension, and it's what people expect. So to not give that to them is kind of doing a disservice to your audience more so than it is even to you as the person who holds that list.
You know, I think with the schedule you're keeping, you may run out of entrepreneurs by December. Maybe that's why you'll move on to something else.
It's quite possible.
So here's an interesting question. Would you rather have an email subscriber or an iTunes review?
I would absolutely rather have an email subscriber.
I agree. Why?
One thing, because I can email that person and ask them to leave me a review later. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. I mean, the last episode, the person whose question we used was like evil8092496. That was their name. Like, we have no idea who that person is. There's no connection. They can just one way leave us a review and we don't know who they are. We can't respond back. Somebody, when they get an email from me and they reply to me, I literally get that reply and I can talk back to them. I can be like, here's my phone number. Why don't you call me? We'll chat. We can do whatever we want, right? We can meet somewhere in person. We can't do that from an iTunes review. So you can't go from an iTunes review to an email list, but I can go from an email list and get them and ask them to leave me a review if they're published.
A couple additional tips here that I want to run down. One is to segment lists where it's appropriate. And that could be, I mean, shoot, that's an entire online course on how to segment. But just to kind of use a simple example with the showrunner, we started the main list. And then once we launched the course, now we have the people who are inside of the course on another list. And so they get an email that is separate every Wednesday from the people who are just on the general list, which makes sense because the people in the course have obviously paid money. We're developing a more intimate relationship with them, and we have additional information to send them about course updates and other things that we don't have for the general list. So when you have those opportunities to segment, do it. And it does create a little bit more work, but a lot of times that work is worth it. And one other lesson about email is, and I learned this from the assembly call, I've learned it from the showrunner. And, you know, John, you talked about how getting on your email list is a direct line into your inbox. And as content creators, sometimes we can think, oh boy, that's exactly what I want, is the people who listen to be emailing me, and now I've got to spend extra time replying back and doing all this. And I will just say that if the thought of that, it can be daunting, that's okay, because we all, none of us have a lot of extra time to use. But if there isn't a part of you that's not excited about that chance to deepen that connection and answer a question or get to know this person a little bit better, then I question how committed you are to really building an audience. Because I think those moments, you know, I saw it with the showrunner early on when we would ask people questions inside of the email. People would respond. We'd get a little bit of a back and forth going. And a number of those people ended up being people who joined us in the course. And they're people who have continued to listen. And I don't think it's a coincidence that those people that we went out of our way to deepen the relationship with, invest time in, which is what email allows you to do with certain people who will take that next step of replying or emailing to you, it's a really big opportunity. And so that's another benefit of email, is that you get those chances, especially if you'll go out and request them and have people reply to you. Any other, you know, the thing with this topic, John, is we could probably do a whole course and
we could,
you know, on email with podcasting, but we just kind of want to run down some general tips and make sure that people are thinking about these things. And then obviously you can go out and either ask us questions or go out and find more information on the specific ways to implement this stuff. But we wanted this episode to be an overview, just because I know a lot of people have questions about email and how to link it with a podcast.
Yeah, so linking it with the podcast. So you said segmentation, and segmentation to me is, it's brilliant. And I mean, I use it in my business, but that's not in my podcasting right now, but I use it in my business. That's, to me, email marketing, right? So when people are buying products or doing things, you have to send automated messages. I'm not saying that every message or every email I send to every person in my business is like not automated, because they obviously are. But from Hack the Entrepreneur and my email list that I build there, which is, I think, the email list you should try and build from your podcast initially, there's not really places to segment and do things like that at that point. Like, that's a newsletter that I just, that's the human connection. And you have to make that connection there. And then it's true. Like, there's a lot of people that came off my Hack the Entrepreneur newsletter that I emailed about the course when it was live, and then ended up in the course, and then they end up maybe getting some automated messages from the course at that point. But that's the initial list and the initial connection. That's where I really think you have to hit reply. I would love to talk to you, and mean it. And when they reply to you, you have to be there to respond. And that is the connection. And when you say that it could be a whole course, it's true, because there's that whole email marketing thing where building up and like selling different products and then segmenting in that way. Of course, that's amazingly powerful. But from your show, your one call to action, I think that should be a direct line to you. That's audience building. This isn't email marketing at this point. Although, yes, you get to market and sell eventually to those people once you build up that relationship. But if you try and do that with an automated message as soon as they sign up, just like, oh, have you checked out my new product? It's like, they don't even know who you are, except that they heard you a couple times on your podcast. They decided to take the next step and deepen that relationship. And then you just throw something back at them, and it just shows you don't care. So if you don't care, why are they going to care? And I think that that's, I mean, I guess I wouldn't have done this the way I did it with Hack the Entrepreneur if it wasn't for Chris Brogan being like my first interview. And the first question of my first interview being, what's the one thing you do, Chris Brogan, that makes you successful? He's like, I respond to people. When people email me, I reply. And I'm just a human being to each and every one of them. And I care very deeply about them. And he's like, it's shocking to me that I can beat so many people that are so much smarter, faster, better than me, because they refuse to reply to people and they refuse to make a human connection. And he's like, and I'll sit there for hours. If people want to keep replying to my newsletter, that's what I'll do. And to me, that was instantly, I was like, this is what I have to do. And then I put out a newsletter on Sundays, exactly the same as Chris Brogan. I didn't start for a few months, but that's what I did. I didn't reinvent the wheel. I was like, it works for him. I'm going to do it in that way because I know that's a great place to start, because I've seen it work. And I'll change it later if I need to. But I mean, he told us at the conference, he has like 32,000 people on his email list. He sends out a newsletter. He has to sit there for 3 hours after replying to people. But it works, and it's a powerful, amazing thing. And don't neglect it. Don't take it, like, just, you have to be there for it. You have to do it.
And I'd like for you to comment, John, on the importance of thinking about your email schedule like your podcast schedule as a commitment that must be kept. Because when we were in Denver a couple of weeks ago, you had a newsletter that was going to come out on Sunday, and it was 10:30 or whatever, and you were, I think, in a hotel bar working on your newsletter as opposed to being out or being up in the mountains or doing whatever else you would have done in Denver.
Yeah.
You were there working on that newsletter because you made a commitment to do it. And I've had sites in the past where I've had a newsletter and it was going to be a Sunday newsletter and it was hot and heavy for a while and the audience was really building and it fell off and the audience connection eroded. And there was that was not a coincidence, you know, because that commitment is a promise and that's the way that you build trust with your audience. So I just want you to comment on that because I was really impressed by that, that you come hell or high water, you're going to get that newsletter out just like you get those episodes out of Hack the Entrepreneur every single time your audience is expecting them.
Yeah. And it is really that reply. Like, it's hard sometimes Saturday night late or Sunday even afternoon when I'm actually writing the email right before I send it. But when I do write it properly and I put the work into it and my mind goes to it and I hit send the next day and then I get 30 people reply to me, it's an amazing feeling. It really is. And when people are like, I can't wait for Sunday afternoon to get this from me because I know it's going to like just push me through the next week. That's awesome. That's amazing. And that's like, I'm not going to miss. I don't care what it takes. If I'm in the hospital, I'm going to write that newsletter. It probably won't be as good because I'll be all drugged up or something. But
or maybe
I'm
it'll be better.
Maybe it'll be better. But I started writing with like 17 people not that long ago. I don't have that many more than that right now. I mean, I have hundreds, but I don't have 1,000. I don't have 10,000 people. Trust me. But I still pour my heart and soul into it. And it's that schedule, the deadline. We just know it just from reading procrastination blogs or something, right? It's like having that deadline, whether it's artificial or enforced by someone else, which now I have a bunch of people waiting for it. I can't miss it. It's embarrassing almost to miss it now, right? So that's cool. It helps. And I make that very clear that every Sunday you're going to get this. And I did that because I'm the worst procrastinator in the world. So I knew that if I forced myself by making that on the actual page where they join, you're going to get this every Sunday afternoon. Then it's like, okay, John, I got to do this. I can't put it off for 3 weeks. I can't. So that's just what it is. And I think you have to set up these things sometimes to really get yourself rolling. And then there's going to be people wanting it. Even if there's 10 people wanting to hear from you, write that email to them. Write it and just keep that schedule because, like the podcast, if I miss that Sunday, they just might not be as interested to open it the following Sunday because they're going to go on to somebody else's newsletter that day. It's just how it is.
Yeah, and it almost becomes a dual commitment. You know, you're writing it. They know they're going to open it. I mentioned, you know, the one side of mine where the email newsletter fell off. Well, the assembly call where we email people the morning after every game without fail. We've done that for 2 years now. It's no coincidence that list went from 10 to 1,000 over those two seasons because and that it got a lot more engaged and people, you know, it's one of those things, again, where attitude so often determines how far you're going to go with online content so much more than aptitude. And, you know, Chris Brogan's a great example. You're a great example. And what's funny is the greater your attitude is, your aptitude usually catches up. So even if someone started out ahead of you, you're going to surpass them by far just because of more experience, more interaction, you get better. Last point I want to make about email before we move on is that it's essential that you make it easy to sign up. You know, you want to reduce both fear and friction that can prevent people from signing up. So what can cause fear of people wanting to sign up for your email newsletter or the list that you're building? Well, they don't know what they're going to get from you. They think they're going to be spammed, right? They're going to sign up for a newsletter and then they're going to get 5 marketing messages. So be clear what people are getting when they sign up and then give them exactly that. That will help reduce the fear. And friction is simply anything that makes it hard to sign up. So for us, when we want you to sign up for the Showrunner email list, go to showrunner.fm, enter your email list, you'll join the list. It's that simple because Showrunner.fm is a nice simple URL. If you put it in, it'll redirect to Rainmaker.fm and our page on Rainmaker.fm, and you'll see the email form right there. And it's just one little field, just email address. We don't need your name. We don't need your last name. We don't need any of that. If you take the next step and join the course or do something else and become a customer, we'll get all that information. for the general newsletter, we don't need it. And that can actually cause friction because every single form or every single field you put in is going to decrease the likelihood of people actually filling it out. So decrease friction, reduce fear, and that helps you get as many possible people on that list as possible.
That's a great point. That whole don't get first name, like it used to be like 5 years ago, people like first name, last name, and then they try and like, John Nestor, how are you today? At the beginning of the email, it's like, I know you're not writing my name personally. And I think I actually learned it from Copyblogger, the fact that all I need is an email. Just make it as frictionless as possible. And I collect nothing else except for just an email on every place on my site that I gather it.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. You know, we could spend a lot more time talking
about this. We could, yeah. So. Email's huge. It's a massive part of the whole game of podcasting. It really, really is. And then just business online in general. You have to make that. You have to get that list of people. You really do. So let's stop going off. But we'll create a course about it later.
It is. Well, we will. But again, our point is if you're not thinking about email with your podcast, we wanted to get you thinking about it with this episode and give you the overview so you know what elements to think about. And then if you already are doing email, hopefully this maybe jogged your mind a little bit for an area that you can improve on or something else that you can do a little bit better. And if you have tips on email that have worked for you and strategies that have worked for you, we'd love to hear them. So tweet us at showrunner.fm. You can email us to showrunner@rainmaker.fm. We'd love to hear what's working for you with email because I know there's a lot of different strategies and a lot of ways that work out there. So we love sharing those ideas with you and learning from you as well. All right, John, how about we go to a listener question, shall we?
Let's do it.
First, before we do that real quick, I actually have a question for you, if you don't mind me asking. And I'm curious, you know, you've been using Rainmaker, I think, I don't know, less than a year. How long have you been using Rainmaker, the platform?
I think less than 3 months now.
Okay. And what, of all the features in there, because obviously there's a lot of features, but of all the features in there, what has been your favorite so far?
I answered this exact question numerous times at the conference, so I'm good with it. What is my favorite feature of Rainmaker platform? My favorite feature I've realized is almost the lack of features, if you will. So coming from WordPress, it's plugins, it's updating everything, it's doing all these things. So every time you log into your site, you have all these little things like, these little numbers and stuff, and you start looking. And I was just going here to write a blog post, but now I'm like updating, doing all this stuff. And I've realized that I literally log into Rainmaker and there's like an add new, I think it is at the top. And then there's like new podcast episode, new blog post, new page, new AB split test, or new lesson now with the LMS thing. And it's like the content creator's dream. Where you literally just, my only function here right now is to just create content and put it up simply. And that's amazing.
And if you would like a simplified content creation process, go to rainmakerplatform.com, give it a try. You get a 14-day free trial and you can see exactly what John is talking about. Okay, so our listener question, John, this comes to us from Twitter. This is Alex C. Forrest. And he says, how do you decide if you need a co-host for podcasts? Before I chime in, John, I'd like to get your thoughts on this first.
Ooh, this is good. So my first podcast ever, I had a co-host because I didn't think I could do it myself. So rather than not podcasting, I did it with somebody who was really good at podcasting. Albert Hathazi, actually, who, if you're in the course, you can see him and he shows up at a couple of videos. And so there's lots of things that go on, right? If you feel like if you're thinking like you're struggling with creating your first one and you think that having a co-host in any way would help you just get started, I wanted to say start on two lines like your presentation, but I couldn't do it. I think that that's a great reason to have a co-host. If that will help you launch a show, then perfect. If you've had a show and you're confident and you just think that a co-host might make it better, I don't think that that's the case. I don't think that, honestly, I don't think that beyond just the fact of partnering with people in any sort of business can be amazing if that's what helps it get done, because you need their skills that you don't have them, and you'll become a better than just one. You join together and become way better, and you can do better things. So if that's what it is that you need to get started, then do it. If you're just adding somebody, though, just to add somebody because they're your friend or they're whatever, it's hard it's hard to have somebody with the same amount of involvement, the same amount that they're going to put into it. And you can end up sort of dragging somebody along, and then it's hard and it's not beneficial to you. And then my last part is interviews with two hosts I find confusing sometimes. When people do just interview shows, I find it weird when there's like just two co-hosts the whole time, always with another person, because it's hard to interject and have a solid conversation with three people. It's way easier with two. But if you're doing, say, a content show where you're like expert based, then obviously two is way better than a monologue, because you can then have a dialogue. So that's my opinion on co-hosts. This show is great for it because of the fact that we don't interview people. We just kind of are the expert sort of in our field, and we can have this dialogue. I think it's more interesting for our listener, so it's beneficial. Plus, you do all the editing and like the writing, and you do amazing parts of it that I don't have to do. So it allows me to do this in addition to other stuff that I'm doing. So you just got to weigh it. If that's what it takes to get it going, then do it. And you can stop that podcast anytime. You can start another one, and you can go solo later if you want to. These things are fluid. These things move. It's always whatever will get you over the hurdle to get you going. It's essential that you do that. You don't need me to tell you that you have to do that. You just have to roll with it and be like, yes, this is right for me right now.
Yeah. So you said pretty much everything I was going to say. I think the default should be that you don't have a co-host. You're going to do it yourself. And then if you have legitimate reasons to add a co-host, I always ask people, well, what are three reasons why a co-host will help? And if you've got those three reasons and they make sense, then do it. But I wouldn't start with the default as that you need a co-host, because it does add some complications just in terms of scheduling and that kind of thing. It's a little less simple, but sometimes the benefits far outweigh any complications, as with this show.
The showrunner would be terrible if it was just me. It really would.
I don't know. I think it'd be pretty good. I wouldn't mind listening to those episodes. You want to take like the next 8?
So there we go. That's our answer for co-hosting or not to co-host. To co-host or not to co-host. That is the question.
That is the question. Indeed it is. But now the question, John, is what podcast do you recommend for this week? So we'll get those here in just a second. John,
yes.
What is your podcast recommendation for the week?
The Moth Podcast. It's storytelling. They do it live on stage. It's either in New York or else they travel around now. And people go up and tell 5-minute, 10-minute, 20-minute, 30-minute stories. And they've been doing it for a couple years now, and it's amazing. I'm getting ready for a road trip, so I need to. This is when, as we as a family, listen to The Moth, and it's brilliant. It's brilliant. He's the guy that runs it is Dan Kennedy, I believe his name is. Not the marketer, but he's an author, and he's a brilliant sort of host of it. And that's it, The Moth Podcast. It's brilliant story writing.
Interesting. I'm gonna have to check that one out. I have not listened to that one yet. My recommendation is the 3-month vacation podcast by Sean D'Souza, and specifically episode 39 on how infotainment creates binge consumption. And I think this is a very educational episode for you as an aspiring showrunner, because usefulness is an extremely important part of creating a remarkable show. And that means that your episodes need to educate, they need to entertain or inspire, or some combination of the three. And Sean talks about this idea of infotainment, combining entertainment and education, and how podcasts specifically as a content medium really allow you to do it well, and that it's one of the reasons why they are so popular. So highly recommend that episode. Plus, Sean does some interesting things with his production that are instructive, and it gives me an opportunity to just give him a big podcast high five for an incredible presentation at Authority Rainmaker. He was sick. He was ill. You know, basically wasn't talking for the first 48 hours we got there because he wanted to save his voice. And you could tell when he was up there on stage that, he, you know, he was sniffly, he was kind of coughing. But the energy that he brought and the enthusiasm that he brought, it was just, it was a great presentation. And I half expected him to kind of be like Michael Jordan after the flu game in the 93 finals, where he just kind of like, you know, fell into Scottie Pippen's arms at the end. I kind of thought he was just going to like fall into Ranuka's arms at the end, you know, when he like walked off stage, because it was that kind of performance. So anyway, Sean, if you're listening, hat tip to you for an incredible commitment to your audience, because he was damn sure that he was going to give a great presentation, and he did. So,
yeah,
kudos to Sean D'Souza. Check out his podcast, The 3 Month Vacation. Well, as we wrap up here, John, of course, we're trying some new things with our call to action, doing some different calls to action at the end of our episodes to just encourage people to keep listening and reward the folks who continue to listen. And so last week, we asked you to share the showrunner with a friend and tell us who you shared it with. And this week, we want to know what makes your show remarkable. We really do. We want to know. So send us a tweet at showrunnerfm or send us an email to showrunner@rainmakerfm and tell us, what is one thing that you think makes your show remarkable? This is not the time for meekness. This is the time for you to be proud about what you're doing as a showrunner, and let us know what you think is that single element that really helps you connect with your audience and give your audience a remarkable experience. And maybe you're struggling to think of one, and that's okay too. And if you are, then tell us what you want to be remarkable about the show and how you can make it so. What's missing? Why is that element not there? Certainly, if we can think of anything, we'll help you. But we want to know. Either one, whichever one you're feeling, let us know. Showrunner at ShowrunnerFM on Twitter, or email us showrunner@rainmaker.fm. Thank you very much for tuning in to this episode of The Showrunner, for listening to our rerun of episode 10. And again, this is part of a series we're going to do now on the email list and engaging with your email list and really using it to the maximum of its potential for what email can do for you and your show and your site and your business. And so make sure that you tune in next week. We will take what we talked about today and build on it and go next level. And give you as many pointers, as much insight as we have gained through our experience and as we've learned from the other mentors that we have to help you go further with your email and go further with your show. Until then, keep show running, and we'll talk to you next week on a brand new episode, all new episode of The Showrunner. Talk to you then, everybody.